Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Message and data rates may apply. Reply stop to opt out. Consult a doctor prior to use.
You look amazing. What have you been doing?
You've heard of Ozempic, Wegovy, and other GLP-1 medications, right? Well, if you qualify, Zelda providers can prescribe semaglutide, the same active ingredient, at up to 90% less without insurance. Done all online.
No wait at the doctor's office or pharmacy?
No wait. Zelda can ship the same active ingredients as other expensive GLP-1s to your door.
Get started with Zelthy today for just $39. Call #250 and say keyword care. That's the same active ingredients in Wegovy or Ozempic, but for 80 to 90% less. That's #250 keyword care.
Hey folks, it's the Michael Steele podcast coming at you a little bit subdued and introspective this week as our nation has been rocked yet again by not just one but two mass shootings in our great country. It just strains thought and perspective at this point that here we are yet again hearing the same pablum coming from elected officials, their heartfelt condolences, et cetera, as yet again more individuals have been struck down. It's just frustrating. But to help us sort of understand and give some context to this, I can't think of anyone who has his finger on the pulse of what terrorism is and what it looks like and how it plays out both internationally and, yes, folks, here at home domestically. Then Malcolm Nance, former Naval Intelligence and Counterterrorism Officer. He's a historian as well. His new book, The Plot to Destroy Democracy, How Putin and His Spies Are Undermining America and Dismantling the West. It's a must read. And then to really put it all in perspective, he's got another book that's about to come out, The Plot to Betray America, How Team Trump Embraced Our Enemies, Compromised Our Security, and How We Can Fix It. That book will be out in November. We will definitely have him back on to talk about that. But right now, Malcolm, welcome back to the program, man. And right now we are in this space, I think, that is it's beyond frustrating. It's angering for a lot of folks out there. You have the toll now coming out of Texas, I believe, is 22 individuals who've been killed by Patrick Crucius, I believe his name is, a suburban Dallas resident, open fired outside of Walmart in El Paso, posted online about 20 minutes before he went and killed folks, talking about a Hispanic invasion of Texas, a plan to separate America into territories by race, warned that white people were being replaced by foreigners. A buddy of mine on Twitter, Malcolm, I think put this in perspective when he noted, Shermichael Singleton, by the way, we've reached a point where people are sick of the phrase thoughts and prayers. The reality is if it's done by a black man, he's a thug. If it's an Arab, then he must be a terrorist. If Hispanic, let's build a wall. But if he's white, he's a troubled young man with mental illness, perhaps video games. I called it out even more than that. I put it straight, you know, yeah, that's the truth. So let's call it for what it is. When it's done by a white man, it's domestic terrorism. Your thoughts?
Yeah, that's exactly right. Well, and so let's start this discussion with the definition of terrorism. And as you know, I taught this for years. As a matter of fact, my first three books were called The Terrorist Recognition Handbook, mm-hmm. and they're used at all the federal law enforcement training centers. The thumbnail definition of terrorism is an act of violence, threat, or threat of violence in which they intend to gain a concession through the use of political violence, and they carry out these acts to impact an audience beyond the immediate victims. So it has these components. It must be political, it must be violent, and it must be to send a message to the people beyond the victims. And that's precisely what this young terrorist, domestic terrorist, did the other day. He carried out an act of violence. He did what we call a small, light infantry weapons attack.
Right.
That's what we call it when you get a gun. And he carried out a massacre of particular race of people in order to impact the broader community. And that broader community is that he wanted to scare the immigrant society. He wanted to scare American society. And he wanted to mobilize and motivate young white men like himself to come out and carry out more acts of terrorism like this. Now, this may sound familiar because it's the exact structure that ISIS used, Al-Qaeda and other terrorists from time immemorial used to carry out their what they would call the symbolism of mm-hmm. the deed.
Right.
Right. Where the deed itself, and they would offer themselves up as martyrs. And I made an interesting note on MSNBC yesterday where I said, with the exception of this guy and a couple of others, most of these attacks that are carried out by domestic terrorists are suicide attacks. They fully intend to die. And the only reasons they don't get killed is because police treat them differently when they're caught. Now, I saw the video of the takedown of the terrorists in El Paso, and I was quite surprised because usually, and I don't know if you guys know it, but I trained as a SWAT officer
mm-hmm.
when I was in the military. I went through with Capitol Hill Police, and usually in a situation like that, if most law enforcement officers will try to take you, right? SWAT teams generally don't.
Right.
They are
right.
there to neutralize the threat. If it's an armed situation like we had here, where he was running around with a AK-47, he had already showed what level of violence he was going to use by killing 22 people and wounding dozens other. So, he was taken down by undercover policemen, and they blocked him, and he just put his hands up.
Yeah, and that's a different scenario.
In any other circumstance, they would have been stitched.
Yeah,
right,
and that's a different scenario from what happened in Dayton, Ohio, where that individual who was shooting folks at bars was actually killed by the police.
Right, and props to the police on that one, because I've seen the video now where he assaulted down the line of people, and then he turned left into the club, and the one policeman early on steps back into the doorway and creates what we call a fatal funnel. And that policeman had the wherewithal to know he's not getting in this building.
Mm-hmm.
And when he turned the corner, he walked right into a wall of bullets by the policeman. That's not normally how it's done. These guys are there. They wear body armor to go long, and
right.
they really do intend to die in many of these circumstances. Just like the terrifying image of the Islamic terrorist from ISIS. Well, it just goes to show you the terrorist mindset is, they are about the deed, and if that deed can impact, hundreds of thousands or now millions, quite possibly. And as you notice, this particular attack, El Paso, within an hour, a billion people had heard about this.
Yeah.
Now, I want you to think about
yeah.
that. So this is where, they gain their strength, that their sacrifice, they view themselves like these German SS officers in World War II. Their sacrifice will further their Herrenvolk mentality, which is the protection of our people. And that's exactly what his ideology said in his manifesto.
So I will stipulate for this conversation that we have a white nationalist terrorist problem in this country. My question, we just do. Timothy McVeigh is the you know, sort of modern day sort of, you know, image of it. But folks, the KKK has been around since after the Civil War. They are a white supremacist terrorist organization. So we have had for well over 150 years a problem with white nationalist domestic terrorism in this country.
KKK were considered a social group.
A social group, yes, because they prayed. Okay, so they prayed before they lynched somebody. Okay, I guess that also made them Christian. don't get me started on that piece. But so here's the rub. Then why the hell can't we in 21st century America, A, acknowledge that we have a white nationalist terrorist problem in this country? And then B, acknowledge strategies and commit to strategies to deal with it, as opposed to, and I'll get to the president's remarks on this some 48 hours after the fact, late in a moment. Well, but what is the problem with that?
Let me step back here really quick, and you know, I don't mind plugging my books, but in this particular case, my book, The Plot to Destroy Democracy, has a very critical chapter in it. And for those of you who understand the Marvel comic book universe, mm-hmm. there's a character called Captain America.
Oh, yeah.
And Captain America's nemesis were a German Nazi scientific group called Hydra. And Hydra's, way of infiltration was to do just that, was to take people who have like-minded ideology, infiltrate them into government, and use government infiltration and their social and political connections of Nazi ideology to take over, governments and organizations. Hydra exists. And Hydra today, as a matter of fact, that chapter is called Hail Hydra. And it starts off with a mass murder by a white supremacist shooter. Mm-hmm. But it was Anders Behring Breivik, the Norwegian mass murderer, who went to an island where the ruling government's children were all there for a political, for a camp.
Right.
It was just hosted by politics, but it was just a summer camp.
Yes, that's right. Yes.
And he murdered 68 children after blowing up a car bomb in the center of the government in Oslo. A friend of mine, one of my former students is a Norwegian intelligence officer, and that person at the time of that massacre called me, and I thought it was a social call, and the person said, "Shut up, I have a document I need you to look at, and I need to know, am I dealing with an international conspiracy?" And it was Anders Behring Breivik's manifesto, 600 pages long. At that point, he was writing about the salvation of the white race so that the white race would not be, and this is a key word, replaced by, wouldn't be replaced by immigrants coming into the country who were destroying the purity of Norway. And when I did the research for this particular chapter, even though I had been involved in the incident, after reading this manifesto, and they call it a manifesto because that was the word he used, mm-hmm. and he created all of these sub sections of the book, like how to dress, how to get trained, why I did this, how I intend to, to mm-hmm. inspire others. That document is the key manual for all other white nationalist terrorists. Mm-hmm. And every time there is one of these mass shootings, there is a miniature version of the Anders Behring Breivik manifesto. And that's why they use the word manifesto, because they do this. It starts off with why I'm doing this, why I'm, you know, what my philosophy is politically, how I prepared for this attack, how we all need to prepare for the, you know, the, to stop the replacement of the white race, and then, you know, how you can get involved and you should do it too. And it is absolutely stunning. I mean, the Christchurch, New Zealand terrorist who shot over 50 people dead in a mosque, the shooter in Canada, most people don't remember that, where he shot 6 men dead right. in a mosque. Virtually all of them have now created a miniature copy of that Anders Behring Breivik's manifesto. He is ground zero for this thing because he said, when he went to trial, he actually, another guy that surrendered, right? I've seen video of him shooting children that was taken from a helicopter. This guy said, I did this to eliminate the next generation of liberal leadership in Norway because they are allowing immigrants into this country.
Well,
and that is, you know, sullying the purity of the white race.
And to that point, talking about the shooting in El Paso, this numbnut who was involved here, in his quote manifesto, wrote, "If we can get rid of enough people, then our way of life can be more sustainable." So you're absolutely mm-hmm. right. There's this consistent thread of white nationalism based on this manifesto. That we have. So this is our reality. This is our truth. We know that this mindset has had spikes in throughout history, but right now seems to be more fervent, more organized, more deliberate, and fueled by the rhetoric of some that I think feeds this kind of mindset. When they hear terms like invasion, et cetera, let's play a couple of clips from mm-hmm. what the president's had to say, leading up to where we are now when it comes to immigrants.
Mexico should step up and stop this onslaught, this invasion into our country. Large, well-organized caravans of migrants are marching toward our southern border. Some people call it an invasion. It's like an invasion. People hate the word invasion, but that's what it is. It's an invasion of drugs and criminals and people. I consider it an invasion.
You look at what's marching up, that's an invasion. That's an invasion. When you see these caravans starting out with 20,000 people, that's an invasion. I was badly criticized for using the word invasion. It's an invasion.
So you have the president at his rallies talking about how these people are invading us, that they're an infestation, et cetera. How does that feed this narrative? And then when you listen to what the president said in response today, where he talks about how he wants to, in one voice, our nation must condemn racism, bigotry, and white supremacy. Let's listen to that clip real quick.
The shooter in El Paso posted a manifesto online consumed by racist hate. In one voice, our nation must condemn racism, bigotry, and white supremacy. These sinister ideologies must be defeated. Hate has no place in America. Hatred warps the mind, ravages the heart, and devours the soul.
Is it me or does none of this make sense? You cannot say here's an invasion, an infestation, and then in the next breath go, oh, well, by the way, we've got to do something about, you know, these sinister ideologies must be defeated. What's your thought here? What the president's
this
doing?
What the president's doing?
Mm-hmm.
President is coming out front and he's speaking to the nation, but to his followers, you know what they're hearing? They are not hearing the words that he said. They're hearing two words, Hail Hydra. They are literally believing that he is the leader of this
ideology, and that everything that he says in public is a nudge and a wink, and that they are all of one in this, in the ideology of the belief that they are here to defend this, you know, a white homeland, the white race. And Trump doesn't come out and say it, right?
Right.
He doesn't have to. Everything is done with a nudge and a wink. And in their minds, it's literally like Nazis, Hail Hydra. And, the reason that I constantly harp on that particular theme is because it's the insidious nature where they are involved at every level of government, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they know by looking at each other and nudging, winking, that they are all of that ideology. And when it springs forth, right, and it comes out, it's malevolent, and it's intended to take over governments. Donald Trump already controls that government. And these people think that he is one of them. Not only one of them, he is the leader of their movement. And he does everything we would ever imagine to justify and validate that. And so by coming out and saying, we must condemn blah, 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 and white supremacy, every one of them knows Donald Trump is a buffoon, right? Who nudges and winks and, you know, and pulls his chin in. And they understand this as a message that we must remain underground. We must do what we need to do. This is why Stormfront, right, and the neo-Nazi online paper, in the last 3 years has had like 1,000% growth. They now feel that their ideological leader is now in charge. There was a Vice News video the other day where they were talking to some people who were these QAnon conspiracy theorists.
Right.
And they said, are you a Republican? He goes, yes, I'm a Republican, but to be quite honest with you, I'm a Trumpican. I don't think Republican covers it anymore. Well, that's where we are.
Right.
We have a new movement in the United States. Okay. And it may as well, it's more akin to Hail Hitler than it is to the Constitution of the United States. And as I wrote in this book, you know, what's happening here is that the poles of power in the world are shifting. And Vladimir Putin and the Russians are leading that shift. And Donald Trump is part and parcel, a believer in their ideology that the Western world, led by the United States through Western Europe and then out to the rest of the world, is the mark of all stability. And Vladimir Putin and Donald Trump believe that the use of liberal democracy as the vehicle to stabilize that world is wrong.
Right.
They believe in oligarchical autocracy.
Right.
They are realigning the world into three poles of autocrats with Russia at the lead. And Trump believes in this. Trump, you know, was steeped in this. From the time he went to Miss Universe, he is in love with Russia. He is in love with dictators because autocrats can do whatever they want.
Yep, whatever they
and
want.
And so you have China, who Trump has praised Xi's decision to make himself ruler for life. Vladimir Putin, who Donald Trump is madly, passionately in love with because he is a mass murdering dictator. Kim Jong-un. I mean, he sees that the world is now aligned beyond flags, and they're aligned by money, which is why he loves the Saudis.
This
is the first president that has given up the sovereignty of America for an ideology that requires the elimination of liberal democracy. And what I think he aspires to with his white supremacist followers is they aspire to what I call a constitutional autocracy, where the Constitution is a framework and fig leaf over an autocrat's dictatorial rule in the United States.
There are to your points. There was an interview that was done by a former white nationalist who I think he actually appeared on MSNBC sometime over the weekend, in which he was talking about, you know, along the lines of what you were just describing, how this is playing and reinforces this activism within white nationalism, neo-Nazism, et cetera. And he made a very interesting point when he was asked whether or not the rhetoric of Donald Trump somehow fuels some of that energy. And the guy shot back, absolutely. In fact, he's considered the model of white consciousness right now. And I was actually floored by that. I was like, whoa.
He is the Mussolini of this game, which is why he does that, you know, comic opera buffo faces, right?
Yeah.
They view him in near cult-like terms. I mean, we've got to remember, this is the guy who used to read, you know, the speeches of Adolf Hitler to his first wife, Ivana. Okay, according to their divorce deposition.
Oh, that's true.
So,
yeah.
You know, because he admired the power of his words mobilizing people to do things. And he understood that when he was, worked around WWE with Worldwide Wrestling, right?
Right.
Where he would come and play this character, the rich billionaire who would side with the evil guy and then with the end side with the good guy. And he could read those audiences, the Walmart shopping audience. He knows them. And he knows fundamentally the white, middle-aged male American is inherently racist. And he only wants them. He doesn't want the inclusivity of an American democracy. He doesn't believe in the 244-year experiment that has integrated us through E Pluribus Unum from many one. He saw a select group of people who wanted an authoritarian. And like the woman said in February during one interview by Vice Television, she said, you know what? I never thought I'd want a dictator, but if I have to have one, it should be Donald Trump. And this is what he's playing to. And you know what? I've worked in the intelligence community 30-some-odd years.
Right.
If this were Burundi, okay, or Guinea-Bissau, or Papua New Guinea, I would have the exact same assessment. I'm just seeing it in my own country now, and it is a threat to everything that America has ever aspired to be.
So on a political land, from a political perspective and along the political landscape, you make an interesting point, and a number of us have had to answer the question, what the hell's happened to the Republican Party? It has become the party of Trump, and what does that mean? How does that manifest itself? A buddy of mine, he and I were talking this weekend back and forth about all of this, particularly on the heels of Baltimore and the president's diatribe, his incendiary and race-baiting comments about Baltimore and Elijah Cummings. And he made a very interesting and I think incredibly relevant and important point. He said that this is the Dixiecrats fully realized. When the effort going back to Goldwater through Nixon and the 68 campaign and subsequent to that, what you have is within the party, within the Republican Party, the full realization of the takeover by the Dixiecrats. So today's Republican Party, as he puts it, they're not the heirs of Reagan, but rather the heirs of Strom Thurmond, Barry Goldwater, those who propounded this sort of nationalist meme. And people forget, Malcolm, and I know you don't, but a lot of people out there, and I get blown up about it. I'm like, I'm not saying that Donald Trump is a white nationalist. Donald Trump said he was a nationalist. So, I mean, you go and look at the man's use of the words and how he said it himself. So what is it right now from both the convergence of everything you've just described, coupled with the political institutions being used as an instrument to implement and execute a lot of this, where does that leave us? I mean, the future of the party, irrespective of that, I mean, that's a whole different kind of crazy conversation. But what does this mean for the country?
I'm surprised that there still is a party called the Republican Party. To be quite honest, I think that even if he loses the next election, he fully intends to create a Trumpican party.
Yeah.
And, you know, hey, full disclosure, I voted for Ronald Reagan in 1980.
Yeah.
Okay. I was a Republican for a good piece of my military career until I started listening to what the core of that of the base would say, which is what we're seeing, is this massive, you know, octopus-like, you know, manifestation of the worst traits of the followers of the party. And like that scene, you know, I keep coming back to this, but like that scene in Captain America, mm-hmm. where the one guy is talking to the senator and they shake hands and he leans over and he whispers in his ear, "Hail Hydra."
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Their loyalties are to the worst, most base components of the racist Dixiecrat Republican ideals. They hate their enemies as physical beings, which means you're set up for what we call eliminationist rhetoric, which is where you fully intend to carry out acts against people. Donald Trump literally, for the first time in American history, was telling people to take action against their enemies. Well, you know what? I worked the Rwanda mission when Operation Turquoise was going down, and people were mass murdering their neighbors with a million machetes that the government had bought from China for 50 cents each. You know, this can spiral out of control. The problem is that they believe that they are the patriots and that they are wrapped in what they think America is. It's like that old joke from The Onion, right?
Right.
Man quotes Declaration of Independence, the Pledge of Allegiance, and the Constitution to form his belief of what America is.
It's
not.
Right.
You just can't pick and choose these tiny little pieces and then say, okay, well, no one else has rights.
So what
you know, there's a Bill of Rights we don't want.
Right. No. Yeah. Exactly. So what are our steps here? How do we? I guess the question is, from your obvious experience inside intelligence and knowing how these movements and how these individuals kind of operate to where we are now. What do you see as a way to deal with this? Is it? There's got to be something beyond Trump if he is the, you know, the one who's kind of spearheading a lot of this. What is the countermeasure? Or do we just have to go through dark days until enough people see the light and rise up?
Well, you know, you used a good word, countermeasures, like we use in the military. And we're popping countermeasures now. The one thing that you can see that they don't like sunlight.
Mm-hmm.
They do not like to be called out as the racist that they are. And their own countermeasure for a while there, I actually had somebody use this against me when I was in the military. And if you can imagine racism in the intelligence community where there are no windows in your rooms and only one door in and out, right?
Right, right,
so
right.
You could almost get away with anything.
Right.
But very early on, I had someone say, the fact that you filed an equal opportunity grievance claim is racist in itself. Recognition of racism to them is the worst racism there could possibly
but to your point, I mean, the president calling Elijah Cummings a racist because Elijah Cummings pushed back and exposed, you know, what was going on with the president. I mean, it's just amazing.
Yeah,
you're absolutely right.
It's amazing. So sunlight in this particular instance where we have actually now, you know, their greatest defense was the fog of decency, right?
Mm-hmm.
Was having them know that the news media would never use certain words. That the news media and the genteel, people who have, coffee clatches
and
dinner parties
would be polite about it.
In Georgetown would be extremely polite about it. And what you would have is you would have a brown shirt like takeover of the government with like-minded people who would all be put in this sort of, you know, nepotistic fashion, which is what we saw. I mean, a perfect example of that is that quote-unquote press conference with the alt-right social media people the other day, right? These are literally facilitators of racism. Seb Gorka and all these other people who have written anti-Semitic and racist diatribes and cartoons being embraced in the White House, okay? Look, Kirsten Gillibrand wasn't joking when she said, we're going to have to clean that White House out with Clorox. when it's done. These people are the worst in American history. At least, you know, I got to tell you something. I studied the Civil War for quite a bit of my life. My great-great-grandfather and uncle fought in the Civil War in the U.S. Colored Troops.
Mm-hmm.
So the Southerners, who in calling for secession, had an actual legal basis in the Constitution and for doing it. And they actually had an ideology that was based on keeping people for their money, their ability to make money.
Right.
You could actually say that that was a more logical argument than what we are seeing now. What we are seeing now is we are seeing people who are infiltrating government through Donald Trump and his personality cult. And they fully intend to destroy it from within. All right. And when they meet, it's Hail Hydra. When we see it, it's we're the White House, and there's you shouldn't be saying that the president is a racist. They can't stand the sunlight, and they really cannot stand the other 60% of this nation organizing to defend our democracy.
But on that point,
that's what we have to do.
But on that point, Malcolm, what has surprised me at this stage is that we have not seen the galvanizing moments of from we the people. There aren't protests out front of the White House, not over, you know, gun policy and all that, but just from the moral, cultural aspects of our country. When the president refers to, you know, a city the way he has Baltimore, or talks about a situation as he did with Charlottesville, denigrates women, you know, castigates immigrants.
I hear you.
Where's the outrage?
I hear you. And where's the mobilization?
Yeah.
Right? Where are the people who are supposed to be standing up? I tried to help organize with Fernando Monde, the talk show host, a march a year ago before the election called the March to Save Democracy, where the whole purpose of it was to call out that, hey, democracy itself in America is on the ballot. So I spoke to organizations like Move On and Indivisible God, no interest in protesting. And I got to grant them, their interest was in mobilizing, getting out to vote. And that's great. But you know what? I mean, at some point, it's like in the show The Handmaid's Tale.
Yes, yes.
They started protesting when the laws had already stripped them of their jobs and said women were second class citizens
and right.
were now going to be rounded up. That's when they started protesting. And then at that point, they just shot all the protesters.
Right. Exactly.
And where is the national, you know, where's the national mobilization to get out there and fight for this?
That's why they have the upper hand right now, because I think the calculation is they won't. And it's aided and abetted by, certainly from a political space, Republicans who don't go after the president. And to the extent that they do, a la Justin Amash, they're immediately ostracized, kicked out of the party, and condemned.
Yep. Well, that's the strength. They use the strength of people needing jobs. They use the strength of people not wanting to be called out in public. Ah, I relish the thought of the day that Donald Trump calls me out.
Oh, I know you do.
On Twitter. I've spent 2 years now crafting my response to that.
I know.
And you know how we do it in the military, right?
We absorb your
insult, and then we turn it around and we make your followers laugh at you.
Yes.
He does not want to get into that game.
No,
with me,
and
so
that's why
I'm waiting for it.
That's why he's not messing with Malcolm. Malcolm Nance, he is an incredible resource for us right now, folks. His insights, intelligence, and work on behalf of this country to fight enemies, both foreign and domestic, has been so important. He is the author of a new book, The Plot to Destroy Democracy, How Putin and His Spies Are Undermining America and Dismantling the West. And his upcoming book, which we're going to get into this fall, The Plot to Betray America, How Team Trump Embraced Our Enemies, Compromised Our Security, and How We Can Fix It. Malcolm Nance, thank you so much, man, for coming on at this difficult time and giving us some insights. And at the end there, some encouragement that, folks, we got to get off our butts and really let the leadership know we don't tolerate any of this, and we're not going to allow this country to be to become a haven for white supremacists, white nationalists, Nazism, et cetera. So appreciate you, brother.
Us patriots got to stick together, man.
Amen. Amen. Well, that does it for this one, folks. Don't forget to download us on Stitcher and Apple Podcasts, et cetera, wherever you get your podcasts on, and say a prayer for those who have fallen, those who are healing from their wounds, and for our country as we deal with this terrorism. Catch y'all next time.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Message and data rates may apply. Consult a doctor prior to use.
Wow, you look amazing. What have you been doing?
I'm sure you've heard of Ozempic, Wegovy, and the other GLP-1 medications, right? Well, I found this great company called Zelthy. If you qualify, their providers can prescribe medications like Ozempic and Wegovy and other GLP-1 medications that are 80 to 90% less expensive, all 100% online.
I can get GLP-1 medications for 80 to 90% less and do it all online? No doctor's office or pharmacy?
Yes, Zelthy can provide semaglutide or tirzepatide, the active ingredients in Ozempic and other expensive GLP-1s. But for 80 to 90% less and ship directly to your door.
How do I get started with Zelthy?
Call #250 with the word care to get started today with Zelthy. Get the same active ingredients in Wegovy or Ozempic, but for 80 to 90% less and 100% online. Don't wait. Call #250 with the word care right now for a link to your exclusive offer. Call #250 with the word care. That's #250 with the word care. #250 and care.